The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, shit, it is a crazy day in the sports world. There is a ton to update y'all on, and shit's been breaking just as I'm getting all my show notes ready, so there's a lot going on in every single sport today, so let's get right into it, starting with the weekend of the NBA first-round playoffs. Man, we had a lot of crazy games. There's already been a sweep. One team's already moved on to the semifinals. So they're sitting, waiting for their next opponent. But a weird theme throughout the playoffs so far is that we have been missing some star players in a lot of games, and that theme is going to continue on into the rest of this week, at least for the foreseeable future. And it's due to injuries, due to suspensions, just due to a lot of bullshit. And it does kind of suck because you always want to see the stars play. And if you are going to win a championship, you definitely need your superstar players to be playing and healthy. But right now, it's kind of up in the air with what's going on. So let's get started with the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics series. In game three on Friday night, Atlanta actually finally took a game. Actually, the last two games have actually been pretty decent from Atlanta. They've at least showed up these last two games, but in game three, it was their first home game in the series. But they actually did. They just pretty much dominated the Boston Celtics from start to finish for the most part. They got the win 130-122, and it was really just all about Trae Young had a huge game. He had 32 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, and then DeJounte Murray, he had 25 points, 5 assists, and then 6 rebounds as well. So they just really stepped it up, had a really good overall game. The Boston Celtics just kind of had a lackadaisical game, I guess you would say, just because it didn't look like they really were giving it their all. But then game four was last night, and Boston still kind of played lax, they did end up getting the win 129-121. And it was a big game from both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They both dropped 31 points. And right now, Boston is up on the series 3-1. Game five is Tuesday night. And, you know, I kind of feel like Boston's going to go ahead and take care of business on Tuesday night, and they should be moving on to the semifinals. Although, like I said, they played kind of lax in these last two games. Don't know what it was. Maybe it was just because Atlanta just decided to step it up, play well at home. But I'm kind of expecting this series to be over pretty quick here in the next couple of days. Then the series, this series has been owned by the Knicks the last couple of games, which is just crazy. The New York Knicks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, both these two games over the weekend on Friday night. Game three, the New York Knicks stomped the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell he's just been held in check these last two games, but he was definitely held in check in Friday night's game. And Jalen Brunson, he has been that dude. He dropped 21 points, 6 assists in game three in a 99-79 win for the Knicks. And then yesterday's game, game four, New York Knicks once again stomped the Cavaliers 102-93. They are up 3-1 on this series, and it's just crazy because Julius Randle has been carrying this squad all season long, and Jalen Brunson's been kind of the dude. Like he's had a great season, but he's been kind of like just the guy in the background getting the scrappy work done, dropping points when he needs to drop points. Well, he has been the reason why they have been playing so well. I mean, he's been playing great defensively. He's been playing great offensively. In game four, he dropped 29 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. So he's just had a very consistent stat line all the way through. But Julius Randle really has not had his breakout game. So you expect Randle to really go off here, possibly in this next game. It's just been really weird from the Cavaliers just because their young squad has looked young. But then they've also, Donovan Mitchell has just been held in check. The New York Knicks defense ain't nothing to fuck with. And they really are just putting it to Mitchell. And it's just showing that Mitchell is, he's the backbone of this team. And if you just take him out, you got a good shot at winning. And game five is going to be on Wednesday night. And the Knicks have a chance to close this series out. And as I said, Julius Randle has not had his big breakout playoff game yet. So don't be surprised if it's this next game or at some point in this series. But this series has pretty much just been dominated by the Knicks. They've been playing great all around. I really expected the Cavaliers to show up because really these last two games, the Knicks have dominated from start to finish. It hasn't been close at all. So we'll see what happens in Game 5 on Wednesday night in that matchup. Then moving on to the Denver Nuggets versus Minnesota Timberwolves series. This one has gone just as expected for the most part. On Friday, Denver got the win 120-111 to go up 3-0 on the series. Jokic had a triple-double, 20 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds. And then Porter, he was the guy who stepped it up in that game to help out with Jokic. He dropped 25 points and 9 rebounds. And then the Timberwolves were finally able to get a win in the series last night. In a win, 114-108. Denver is still up 3-1 on this series. Game 5 is Tuesday night. Really, Anthony Edwards, he has had a solid series. He dropped 34 points last night, and he was the guy. But Jokic, even though the Nuggets lost, he had a great game. 43 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. As I said, Game 5 is Tuesday night. I expect the Nuggets to close that one out. I'm kind of shocked that the Timberwolves were even able to get a win last night just because they've been so weird. They have not been able to put together a good game. Every game has been a blowout except for last night's game. And even so, Jokic dropped 43 points, and the Nuggets could have easily won that game. It's just Anthony Edwards was just a force and would not stop. And he really was the reason why the Timberwolves were able to finally get a win in this series. But I'm expecting this one to be closed out tomorrow night as well. Then moving on to the Philadelphia 76ers Brooklyn Nets series. This one is officially over. The Philadelphia 76ers closed this one out on Saturday. They won this 96-88. And straight sweep, and good for them too, because Joel Embiid missed this game due to a knee injury, and he could definitely use the rest. So that's what the 76ers are doing right now, just sitting back, waiting for their next opponent in the semifinals. But in Game 4, Harris had a huge game. He dropped 25 points, 12 rebounds, and then James Harden had a great game as well, 17 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. So typical playoff Harden has not really shown up. He did have a kind of crappy game 3, but overall, James Harden has actually showed up. And like I said, the 76ers definitely could use the rest because they need Embiid. Because as I was saying about last year's 76ers team, I felt like they had a really good shot at winning the NBA Finals until Embiid got hurt right as the playoffs began. So hopefully this is not the same thing as last year, because Embiid is a great player, but he is... The 76ers are not going to even come close to an NBA Finals if that guy can't at least get on the court. So 76ers right now are the only team at this point in the playoffs that have moved on to the conference semifinals. Then moving on to the Phoenix Suns, Los Angeles Clippers matchup on Saturday. Man, Phoenix ain't nothing to fuck with. This team is getting really, really hot and looking really, really good. Now, Kawhi Leonard, as I mentioned, stars have been missing these games lately. And Kawhi Leonard, not only did he miss the last game, but it's looking like there's no timetable on when he's expected to come back. So even if the Clippers end up moving on to the next round, they don't know if Kawhi Leonard's going to be playing. Paul George is, of course, out. So that is a big loss for the Clippers. But still, the Phoenix Suns are clicking at the right time. They got the win on Saturday night, 112-100, and it wasn't even close. They were just dropping threes like no other. Durant and Booker are looking damn good right now. Phoenix is up on the series 3-1. Game 5 is tomorrow night, but in Game 4, Devin Booker had 30 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Kevin Durant had 31 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Chris Paul had this crazy game. I mean, Chris Paul, you know, he used to be one of the best point guards in the game. Now, of course, he's the journeyman. I mean, of course, he gets his respect. He's still tops in the league, but he doesn't usually have the type of games that he did in Game 4. He went off for 19 points, 9 assists, and he was just getting some crazy shots, crazy looks, getting some crazy rebounds. And then DeAndre Ayton also had a double-double. He had 15 points, 13 rebounds. So the starters are really putting it together, and Booker and Durant are just looking flawless and just dropping dimes like no other at this point. And like I said, Chris Paul's having a resurgence. So the Suns are getting it going at the right time. And this is a team, if they keep it moving and they get better each and every round, once the NBA Finals hit, if this team is in there for the Western Conference, everybody better be looking out for them, because Booker and Durant, it's tough. It's tough to figure out who to guard, and even when one comes off of the court to give the other one rest, they can't be stopped, and they're just dropping dimes. It was something of beauty to watch in Game 4. Like, the Suns really just put together a great offensive game plan and just looked really flawless out there on the court. And like I said, Chris Paul just had this great game where he just got some great rebounds and was just in on just about every key play that needed to be made. And so all their starters are stepping it up. Now, their bench is a huge question, but as I said, as this series wears on, if they go on to the next series and if they keep progressing each and every game, I feel like the Phoenix Suns are going to be a really, really difficult team to beat in the NBA Finals. Then moving on to the Miami Heat versus the Milwaukee Bucks series. On Saturday, Miami just stomped Milwaukee to the curb. Now, once again, Giannis was actually missing from that game. And that was a huge, huge, huge deal, obviously, because Miami won 121-99. They actually went up 2-1 on the series. And Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, he dropped 30 points in that game, and he's been huge in every game, including the loss. And right now, Game 4 is actually currently being played right now. It's a commercial break, so I'm not sure what the score is. But before I started the show, the Bucks were up big, and Giannis is back tonight. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Bucks end up getting this win, because the Heat have been exactly what they've been all season long. They've been so Jekyll and Hyde, up one game, down the next, and that is exactly how the series has gone so far. They're up one, down one, like they just are. So I'm not surprised that right now they're getting their asses beat. And then moving on to the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Memphis Grizzlies series. The Lakers were actually able to get a big win on Saturday, 111-101. And it was just straight domination by the Lakers. And Ja Morant was back. He had a good game. He had 45 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds. It's just the Lakers' entire squad was able to put it together. And of course, as usual, the Lakers pretty much, if Anthony Davis plays well, then the Lakers play well. And he had a solid game in Game 3. He had 31 points, 17 rebounds. LeBron had a good game, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And Lakers are up right now 2-1, and Game 4 is tonight in Los Angeles. We'll see if they're able to take care of business. Because right now the Grizzlies, they're also pretty Jekyll and Hyde right now, and they're not playing as consistent as they have been. You could just tell the loss of Steven Adams is huge, because he was the workhorse in the paint, and he made all the difference in why they were so scrappy and played so well. So I kind of feel like they're missing Steven Adams right now, especially with the way Anthony Davis is playing. Lakers are actually looking pretty decent in this series. I still don't expect them to have any chance at an NBA Finals, but it is nice to see them actually play well and have something to root for right now, at least. So we'll see what happens tonight in Game 4. And then the final series of the weekend, which has been by far the best series in all of the playoffs so far in the first round, the Golden State Warriors versus the Sacramento Kings. This has been such a crazy freaking matchup. I mean, like, it just, every game they have had, it's just been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so yesterday's game, game four, it was just nuts. So they did get Draymond Green back. You know, he missed the previous game due to suspension. But I mean, Steph Curry, he has been, him and Klay have been back to the Splash Brothers days of old. They are just dropping threes, and not just the normal regular threes. They're doing it the way they used to, where Steph is like falling backwards and he just tosses up a prayer and boom, of course, it just magically swishes on through. Klay's doing the same thing. And then you've got Draymond Green playing the dirty defense in the middle, getting the job done when he needs to. And, man, Golden State eked out a huge win yesterday, 126 to 125. And, I mean, it was back in, like, Golden State had to lead the majority of the way through. But then the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes to go, Sacramento starts really getting going, starts chipping away at the lead. And then it's just back and forth again. I mean, the fourth quarter of every single one of these games between the Warriors and the Kings has just been fantastic to watch as a basketball fan. Right now, the series is tied, heading into Game 5, which is not until Wednesday night, and it's just been a great series to watch. In the previous game, Curry had 32 points, Klay had 26 points, and then, of course, De'Aaron Fox, he's been huge for the Kings. He had 38 points. Now, unfortunately, it looks like he broke a finger in the last game, and he's in doubt for the next game, so if they're losing De'Aaron Fox, that is a huge blow to the Sacramento Kings. And that sucks just because this, like I said, this series has been just some great basketball to watch. If you like basketball, or if you're just a fair weather fan and you pretty much just watch in the playoffs, I hope you're watching this Warriors-Kings series, because that is just, it's just been great basketball. Both teams, they match up so well against each other. And like I said, the fourth quarter of every single game so far has just been on the edge of your seat. You want to make sure you're just watching every single second of each game. And so far, it's just been a fantastic series. And that's why it's tied at 2 right now. And as I said, game 5 is Wednesday night. And then we actually had a bit of breaking news today in the NBA. Ime Udoka has officially signed on with the Houston Rockets as their next coach. I mean, we all expected Udoka to get picked up somewhere. He was basically rumored for every coaching job that's out there right now, and he ended up going to Houston. I don't know how well that's going to work out for him, just because Houston is not a good team. They're one of the worst teams in the league and have been for the last couple of seasons. But hey, they've got a pretty young squad, and you know, since they're pretty bad, they should get a pretty decent draft pick. So we'll see what happens there, but he's got a lot of work to do with the Houston Rockets. All right, now moving on to baseball and the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. And I mean, the Power Rankings have been just crazy every week, because the beginning of the season, usually the first couple of months, it's always up and down, back and forth, weird teams in there. But this year, there is a lot of parity and a lot of weird teams that you did not expect to be in there. I mean, still, no team in the National League West this week is in the top 10 power ranking. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about the National League West right now. Diamondbacks are still number one in the National League West. And the Dodgers, not looking too good right now. They're just playing okay baseball. I mean, they're tied record-wise with the Diamondbacks. So they are working their way back up. Max Muncy also leads the league with 13 home runs right now. So he's having a really good season. But it's actually just pretty hilarious for me to watch the Dodgers not look too good so far on the season. Not expecting it to last that long. But I'm enjoying it because I hate the Dodgers. And it was annoying having to basically put them at number one all freaking season last year in the top 10 MLB power rankings. And this year, they have yet to make the rankings. But this week, I can't believe who's up here in the top five. There's two teams specifically who I'm looking at right now offhand where I'm like, how are they up here? And it was really difficult for me to actually kind of get the rankings, because usually the bottom, like the last couple of teams, you know, like 7, 8, 9, 10, that area, it's usually pretty difficult for me to actually find teams. It was actually difficult for me to rank teams, and just because so many teams are doing well right now, but then there's teams falling off. So let's get right into it. Number one on the top 10 in MLB Power Rankings, same old song and dance, the only team that has not moved from the top 10 and has maintained their number one ranking every single week. That's the Tampa Bay Rays. 19-3 on the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They are currently on a 5-game winning streak. This past week, they won a series against the Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago White Sox. They swept them, and they just are doing it at every level on the field. I mean, right now, they still lead the league with 149 runs. 149 runs. It's insane how many runs this team has. But they're not just getting it done with the bats. It's still the defense, the pitching. I mean, they have the best pitching in the league, and it's not even close right now. And they're even missing dudes on the injured list right now. So it's just nuts what this team is doing. Randy Arozarena is batting at .341, 5 home runs, 22 RBIs. Shane McClanahan has been their top pitcher right now. He's got 1.86 ERA and 4 wins on the season. So this team is just getting it done in every single way, shape, and form. They really haven't fallen off. You know, they had their couple of losses so far. But, I mean, overall, their domination is just insane. And the American League East is insane, because I still have 4 teams in the top 10 on the power rankings because they're so freaking good right now. And the Rays are the leader of the pack. Now at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I cannot believe this team is not only in the top 10, but at number 2, and that is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Overall record of 16-7, but I had to put them up here because right now they're on a 7-game winning streak, longest winning streak in the league right now, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Colorado Rockies and the Cincinnati Reds, and I know those aren't great teams to be sweeping, but the Pirates, they're on a 7-game winning streak. Nobody expected them to even be even worthy of talking about, other than Brian Reynolds wanting to be traded. And so far, he's having a great season, batting at .294, 5 home runs, 18 RBI. So lucky for him, his team is showing up, because he probably doesn't want to be traded anymore. I mean, the big story for the most part was going to be Andrew McCutchen's goodbye, last hurrah. You know, he signs with the Pirates. This is going to be his last season. He's heading off into retirement. And so that was basically going to be the storyline for the Pirates. And no, this team, I don't know how they're doing it because they're basically the nobody squad outside of Reynolds and McCutchen. It's just a bunch of young-ass dudes just getting the job done, and you got to get the Pirates. They're leading their division right now. They're the top team in the National League record-wise at this current point in time. So I had to get the Pirates their due, and it was tough for me to put them at number 2. I was like, can I put them up this high? But I had to, because they're just playing so damn good, at least so far they are. We'll see how long it lasts, but so far, Pittsburgh Pirates looking pretty damn good. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 15-7. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Seattle Mariners, but lost the series to the Boston Red Sox. But Rowdy Tellez, man, this guy is having a great season. He's got 7 home runs, 17 RBIs on the season. And then their pitching has been really solid, led by Wade Miley with a 1.96 ERA and 3 wins on the season. The Brewers are just getting it done in an all-around fashion. They are scoring runs, playing great defensively, and have really, really solid pitching at this current point in time. And the Brewers have been one of the most consistent teams so far in the National League. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another shocking, surprising team I can't believe I'm still talking about, but here they are. It's the Baltimore Orioles. They are 14-7 on the season, 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're currently on a 6-game winning streak. This past week, they swept the Washington Nationals and the Detroit Tigers. So, yes, those are 2 crap bag teams, but they're still playing really, really good baseball. Adley Rutschman, their young catcher, he's batting at .291, 4 home runs, 15 RBI. And the Orioles, they're also just getting it done with all-around great baseball. All of their pitchers, they're coming out, getting the job done, and then their bullpen's just taking care of business. They're getting the runs when they need to. Ryan Mountcastle, his batting average, not that great, but he's got 5 home runs and over 20 RBI on the season right now. So he's just raking it as well. So the Orioles, we'll talk about them while we can, because I don't know how much longer this is going to last for them. I see them starting to fall further down than the Pirates, just because the Orioles, they're never consistent. Neither are the Pirates, but I just kind of feel like the Pirates are in a much different division, whereas the Orioles are in probably the most difficult division, at least right now, in the league. But they're playing great right now, and they started off the season hot, and let's see if they can keep it up. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Texas Rangers. Overall record of 14-7. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they won a series against the Kansas City Royals and the Oakland A's. And they are actually second in the league with runs at 139 runs. And like I said, the Tampa Bay Rays are at 149. So the Rangers are still 10 behind. But man, Adolis Garcia, this guy is just, you know, he's been a guy that you've been looking at for the Rangers to hopefully just get it going. And he really hasn't paid off until this year. He's batting a 250 with 7 home runs and 28 RBI on the season, and he really just broke out this week. And then, of course, you've got Jacob deGrom. He's been having a solid season. He's got a 304 ERA with 4 wins on the season right now. I'm sorry, 2 wins on the season and 43 strikeouts on the season. So he's really getting the strikeouts. And Bruce Bochy, as I expected, is doing a great job managing this Rangers team, and they're in first place in their division right now. And they're looking like a really, really solid squad. And don't be shocked, because Madison Bumgarner was actually released from the Arizona Diamondbacks earlier in the week. Just hasn't been working out for him, but I would not be surprised if Bumgarner ends up signing with the Texas Rangers, just because he is a Bruce Bochy guy. He won us a World Series in 2014. It was all on the back of Bumgarner. That's why he's my favorite player of all time in baseball. As a San Francisco Giant, love the dude. Just has really fallen off with the Diamondbacks, but I see him going to the Rangers because Bochy's up there. He and Bochy have always gotten along, and I still think Bumgarner's not what he used to be, of course, but I still think he's got some gas in the tank and he would fit right in with the Rangers. And so I would not be shocked if the Rangers end up bolstering their starting pitching rotation by signing Madison Bumgarner here in the coming days. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Atlanta Braves, overall record of 14-8. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they won a series against the San Diego Padres, but just got swept by the Houston Astros. They're really just having an up-and-down time right now. You know, they were streaking really hard to start the season off. They're just coming off of that big winning streak, but then this week, they did get swept by the Astros. But, I mean, hey, they've still got a really solid squad. Spencer Strider is having a phenomenal season. He's got a 2.45 ERA with 36 strikeouts on the season. And he's just really leading this starting pitching core. But I mean, overall, the Braves look like just a fantastic team. And then also Matt Olson has really stepped it up with his bat. He's batting a 256 with 6 home runs and 20 RBI. He's basically the leader of the pack right now. And that says a lot, because you know you've got Acuna batting over 350. I believe he's batting a 356 right now. Then you still have Austin Riley out there. So they still have a very, very solid squad. You got Ozzie Albies as well. So they have so many guys on this Braves team. So even though they've fallen back a few spaces from last week, I still expect this squad to be one of the best teams in baseball, hands down. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 12-10. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Toronto Blue Jays and swept the Atlanta Braves. And they're really starting to get it going. They've started off the season kind of shaky, kind of slow. But, I mean, the beginning of the season, who the fuck cares? April is when you start to get your bearings going. And that's what the Astros have finally started to get going. Alvarez, he is having just another great year. He's batting 253, six home runs and 27 RBIs. And then you've got Kyle Tucker, who he's been their dude over the last couple of years, just been slowly getting it going. Then last year, he really started to get going. And this year, he's just continuing it. Right now, he's batting a 303 with five home runs and 17 RBI. Valdez has been the workhorse for the starting pitching at this current point in time. But really, the Astros are starting to get hot. They're starting to put it together. And they're looking like the defending World Series champs. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 14-9. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Los Angeles Dodgers and split the series against my San Francisco Giants, which was very shocking that they played that well. But Giants still pretty shitty this year. But for the Mets, Brandon Nimmo, man, this guy has paid off, not only on the offensive side. Right now, he's batting at 350, two home runs and 13 RBI, but defensively, this guy has made some huge catches in the outfield, and he's really paying off at this point in time. And then, of course, you got Pete Alonso, who led the league, National League last year in home runs, and he's right there again. Right now, he's batting at 267 with 10 home runs and 23 RBI. The dude is just mashing like no other. And the Mets starting pitching has been phenomenal. You've got their new guy, I can't remember his name. Is it Kota Senga? I think that's his name. But he's having a great year so far. Then you've got McGill, who's pitching very well right now. Scherzer, even though he's suspended currently, he started off not in a Scherzer way, but he's still Max Scherzer. And then they've got Verlander, who should be coming back here actually pretty soon. It's looking like he's going to be coming off of the injured list, I would say, in the next week or so. At least that's what they're saying. So the Mets should be getting even better here once they get Verlander back. But they're playing pretty well, and this starting pitching is looking really, really good. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 13-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they won the series against the Los Angeles Angels and then lost the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. That was a testy series, but a really fun series to watch. Usually you expect Aaron Judge to be leading the pack in everything for the Yankees, at least as far as hitting goes. But it's actually Anthony Rizzo. He's batting a 316 with five home runs and 11 RBI on the season. And that's just shocking just because he had a good year last year, but not what we were used to from Anthony Rizzo. He kind of had a weak batting average. But this year, no, the guy is getting on base, and he's just making really big plays, and he's been a huge difference maker offensively. But the Yankees this year, it's not their offense that's been at the forefront. It's been their starting pitching, and that is exactly what they need. Man, Cole is just – the guy has been great basically since he hit the league. I mean, he played for the Pirates and was phenomenal with them. Then played with the Astros, was phenomenal with them, and now since he joined the Yankees, he's been phenomenal with them, and the dude still is pitching insane. Just he's starting off the season at an insane level. His ERA right now is a .79, and he's got 36 strikeouts on the season. But it's not just him, you know. They've got this new guy Brito. He's been having a great season, and they still have not, Rodon has not played a game yet. So they still are adding one of the best pitchers in the league. He hasn't played yet, and so they're going to be adding more to their starting pitching. And so I kind of feel like even though Aaron Judge, you know, he had the great season last year, and it was fun and exciting to see that record-breaking year, the Yankees, I think, are doing exactly what they need to do right now, and that's dominating with pitching, and they really, really are. And Gerrit Cole has been the leader of the pack for the Yankees at the starting pitching position. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, another American League East team, the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 13-9. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Houston Astros, but they won the series against the New York Yankees. And man, Matt Chapman has been on fire since game one. He is batting a 367 with 5 home runs and 17 RBI. And then look out right behind him. You got Vlad Guerrero Jr. batting a 341, 5 home runs and 13 RBI. And it's not even just those two. I mean, it's just all of them. And then you got Kevin Gausman, starting pitcher. He's having a phenomenal season. The Blue Jays are really putting together a good year, and it's just crazy that we still have 4 American League East teams. I mean, those 4 teams have pretty much been in the top 10 power rankings every week so far. And it's just crazy because, I mean, number one has been the Rays all season, but then you've got the Yankees, of course, and then you've got the Orioles, who you don't know if they're going to stick around, but, I mean, they could. I mean, they're going to fuck up somebody's season, that if anything. They may not make the playoffs, but they are going to make some noise, and they're probably going to mess up a few series here, especially towards the end of the season. And hey, who knows? They might make the playoffs. And then, of course, you got the Blue Jays, who have been a very solid team, who have been building over the years, and I just kind of feel like they're a very solid squad who could make a run. So this American League East, it's very interesting to see how it's all shaping out. And so far, all 4 of those teams looking really good, and hell, even the Red Sox. I didn't expect much from them this year, but they're right in the thick of things. I don't really think they're a real contender, but they're probably going to mess some. I mean, this American League East, all these teams play each other. They're going to be just messing things up for each other, especially once we get towards the playoffs, and once we get towards the end of the season when the division's up for grabs and the wild card spots are up for grabs. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the entire league shapes out. But this American League East has been tops in the league. And now we actually have a little bit of NFL news. The breaking news that took for fucking ever, of course, in typical Aaron fucking Rodgers fashion. He was finally traded to the New York Jets today. But, I mean, that's just how it goes with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he drags everything out to the last fucking minute. Just like he has with the Packers the last 2 seasons before. And now here we are. We've been hearing about this trade to the Jets. Even he confirmed that this was going to be happening at some point. And I swear to God, he did that interview like a month ago? And here we still are, April 24th. He finally has been traded to the New York Jets. The Green Bay Packers, basically, they're switching their first-round picks. So the Packers are going to get the 13th pick, and the Jets are going to get the 15th overall pick. But then the Jets also get a 2nd round pick, a 6th round pick, and then a pick next year, which could either be a 1st or a 2nd round pick. It just depends on how Aaron Rodgers' season goes. But it's about time. This finally happened. I'm sick to death of hearing about it. Like I said, it's typical for Aaron Rodgers. We have to hear about him and whatever drama's going on until the very last minute of whatever needs to happen happens. And here it goes. I'm not shocked it happened today just because the NFL draft is this week. So I expect even more noise to be made. You know, there's talk that DeAndre Hopkins of the Arizona Cardinals is going to get traded at some point. And so at some point this week would probably be a good time just because, you know, draft, and people are looking to draft picks at this point in time. And so it is about goddamn time that Aaron Rodgers has been traded. Now, I do think this is a great move for the Jets because it's about all they're missing. They made some solid pickups for a couple wide receivers in the offseason this year. They have a very nice rookie running back from last year, Breece Hall. Yeah, him. He started off the season real hot, then unfortunately got injured. So we'll see what happens with this offense. And their defense, though, is really solid. So I do think the Jets, I can't say they're going to be a Super Bowl contender just because they are in a difficult division. You know, they do have the Bills in that division. And then the Dolphins, they're not a powerhouse team, but they look like they have the potential to be pretty decent. But the Jets, this is a good move for them to at least compete in the division, compete in the AFC, and we'll see what they're able to do. But I can't pick them as a Super Bowl pick, but I'm definitely not picking the Green Bay Packers as a Super Bowl pick because now it is officially the Jordan Love era in the for the Green Bay Packers. He is going to be taking over as a starting quarterback. So far, in my opinion, I mean, we don't have a lot to go off of with him, but from what I've seen, he's not impressive at all. And I kind of feel like this is not going to be a fun year to be a Packers fan. I feel like if you didn't like last year, you're really going to hate this year. As much drama as Aaron Rodgers can be, I think you're going to miss Aaron Rodgers. Now, it is quite coincidental that Aaron Rodgers did get traded to the Jets, because that's, of course, where Brett Favre got traded to when the Packers basically tried forcing him into retirement. You know, he retired, then he came back unretired, and then the Packers ended up trading him to the Jets. And it was not a good time for the Jets with Brett Favre, but I do kind of feel like with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a little bit different because his team's a little bit different. But like I said, as far as a real contender goes, I don't know about that just yet, but they're definitely much improved with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Because like I said, no matter how much drama the dude is, he's still a great quarterback, and I feel like he wants to play for championships. That's the only thing he's got left, really. And the $50 million he's going to be making with his contract this year. But I do think it's a good move for the Jets. I really don't know why the Packers would make such a move. I guess they're probably just over Aaron Rodgers and his drama. Can't really blame them there. But I don't think the Jordan Love era is going to be a good era for the Packers. But hey, who knows what's going to shape up for you. But I kind of feel like this year is not going to be a fun year to be a Packers fan. And now, speaking of the NFL draft, that begins Thursday night. You know, we've got the Carolina Panthers. They traded for the number one overall pick. It's expected that they're going to take a quarterback. They should take a quarterback. It's looking like it's probably going to be Bryce Young. I mean, of course, everybody's always, when you have the first pick, you don't ever show your cards. But it was kind of obvious when Bryce Young pretty much bailed out on all of his final meetings with other teams. I believe it was last week. So usually when that happens, that kind of means he knows he's going to be going somewhere. And you really only know you're going somewhere if it's the number one overall pick. So it's looking like the Carolina Panthers are probably going to pick Bryce Young. And I mean, the big quarterbacks in this draft this year are Bryce Young out of Alabama, C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State, and then Anthony Richardson out of Florida. Out of the three of them, I personally think C.J. Stroud is the better. Bryce Young, while he's got great skills, he is a small guy. And small guys usually don't fare well in the league. And I'm not talking about like short, although he is on the quote short side for a quarterback. But I mean, I'm just talking about his build. So we'll see. But I mean, he also has a very, very high ceiling as well. He seems like he's very coachable, and I don't doubt his skill set. It's just really, I feel like CJ Stroud is more of a prototypical NFL quarterback than Bryce Young, but you never know when it comes to the draft. I mean, this year's draft actually is completely up in the air. With who's going to get drafted. There really isn't a solid overall pick. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Panthers pick somebody else other than Bryce Young, go with C.J. Stroud instead, but I kind of feel like it's looking like Bryce Young is going to be selected number one overall. Then we also have the number two pick is going to be the Houston Texans, number three Arizona Cardinals, number four Indianapolis Colts, number five Seattle Seahawks, number six Detroit Lions, number seven Las Vegas Raiders, number eight, Atlanta Falcons. Number nine, Chicago Bears. Number 10, Philadelphia Eagles. Number 11, Tennessee Titans. Number 12, Houston Texans. Number 13 is going to be the Green Bay Packers. As I said, they just got that today from the New York Jets. Number 14, New England Patriots. Number 15, the New York Jets from the Green Bay Packers. Then the number 16 pick is going to be the Washington Commanders. Number 17 is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 18 pick is going to be the Detroit Lions. 19 is going to be Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 20 is going to be the Seattle Seahawks. The Miami Dolphins were supposed to be the number 21 pick, but they had to forfeit their pick due to their tampering with Tom Brady charges that came about months ago. So there's only going to be 31 overall picks in the first round this year. Then that the 21st pick is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers, 22nd Baltimore Ravens, 23rd Minnesota Vikings, 24th Jacksonville Jaguars, 25th New York Giants, 26 Dallas Cowboys, 27 Buffalo Bills, 28 Cincinnati Bengals, 29 the New Orleans Saints, 30th pick the Philadelphia Eagles, and the 31st pick is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, things can change throughout the rest of the week, and I expect things to change throughout the rest of the week, especially on Thursday. But the draft kicked off Thursday night and is going to be rolling all through the weekend. That's our little bit of football, but we've got the NBA playoffs rolling on through. Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are up 54-50 on the Miami Heat. So, and we're going to be heading into halftime, it looks like here. It's closing of the second quarter. So, we got tons of basketball, tons of baseball, and tons of football on tap this week. So, you all enjoy the week of sports. And also, I have a special bonus episode on Wednesday. So, look out for that. But I will talk to you all on Friday.